Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. For this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. And welcome to Pray One for Another. I'm your host, Evangelist Hilda, sitting in for my pastor, Prophet R.D. Wiggins, who is the pastor of House of Manasseh Christian Ministries. And we are a church beyond walls. I'd like to, first of all, take this time to thank you for tuning in. And this is Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Friday from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own Barbara A. Amore will be here with our lesson this evening in Basic Theology by Charles C. Ryrie. So if you would like to join us, please feel free to dial in 319-527-6204. We are here to pray for you, with you, and right along beside you. Our motto comes from James chapter 5, verse 16, where it says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. To God be the glory. At this time, I'd like to say a short prayer and welcome in the Holy Spirit into the sanctuary, because we never like to start our broadcast or our service without inviting the Holy Spirit to come into the midst of it all. So Holy Spirit, let us pray first. Our Heavenly Father, as we enter into this sanctuary, we bring your presence with us. We speak your peace, your grace, your mercy, and your perfect order into this sanctuary. We acknowledge your power over all that will be spoken, thought, decided, and done within these walls. Lord, we thank you for the gifts you have blessed us with. We commit to using them responsibly in your honor. Give us a fresh supply of strength to do our job. Anoint our projects, ideas, and energy so that even our smallest accomplishment may bring you glory. And Lord, when we are confused, please guide us. When we are weary, please energize us. And when we are burnt out, please infuse us with the light of the Holy Spirit, that may the work that we do and the way that we do it bring faith, joy, and a smile to all that we come in contact with today. And, oh, Lord, when we leave this sanctuary, give us traveling mercy. Bless our families and homes to be in order as we left it. And, Lord, we thank you for everything you have done. We thank you for everything you are doing. And we thank you for everything you are going to do. And we thank you in the name of Jesus, we pray with much love and thanksgiving. Amen, amen, and amen. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here, by Francesca. Praise God.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your
God provides. In Matthew chapter 6, verses 26 through 31, in the ESV Bible says, "Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?" Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. Amen. Did you ever ride a roller coaster as a kid? We would go to the local amusement park, get in line, and wait for what seemed like forever. And then, finally, we would get to pick our favorite seats on our favorite roller coaster. Buckling in, the alarm sounded, and we were off, flipping and twisting through the air. We felt like excited and happy. Then a few minutes later, the ride was over. All that waiting for a few moments of happiness, and then it was done. A lot of times, we want to get to a certain destination. We ask God, please help me find my husband. Or, please help me get this job, thinking only that then we'll be happy. But the destination doesn't always equal happiness. Think back to the roller coaster and enjoy the ride you are on now. Don't think about the next ride you'll go on. But enjoy the flips and turns, the ups and downs where you are now. Enjoy the moment rather than wishing it away. Looking back on your younger years, don't you wish that you hadn't worried about how God would provide for you? Look how far you have come. Have faith. Amen? You got this. What were times in your life that you wished for? What was next? The next time you find yourself hoping for the future and worrying about what's coming, remember where you came from and enjoy where you are. Have faith that God is already taking care of you and knows your next step. Believe in yourself and in him. Amen. To God be the glory. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, please keep our family, friends, and loved ones safe today. Watch over them. And let good things, good health, happiness, answered prayers, and many blessings be their portion. If someone is hurting today, Lord, may you comfort them with your love, your grace, and your peace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. At this time, I will play another selection. Praise God.
I am the one who spoke into nothing and all creation heard. I am he who has all power in my hand. And if you believe on my word, you can stand. I am the one whose name is a tower where you can run and hide. I am he who has all power in my hand. And if you believe on my word,
a moment and consider. When God speaks to Sarah at 90 years old and tells her she's about to give birth to a baby, she laughs. But God responds and says, is anything too hard for me? And some of y'all have situations that look like they can't be fixed. But you have to understand that when I am is in the picture, anything is possible. I need you to look at somebody and say, anything is possible. So God says, no matter what it looks like, God says, you're overwhelmed. But body's rocking with pain, but I am. Look at somebody and say, God says,
I am.
Let me be who
I am.
I don't understand how I'm gonna get out of it, but. And say, God says,
I am.
Look at somebody else and say, God says,
I am.
Somebody needs to know that God says,
I am.
I am.
I am.
One more time, y'all. Tell them who he is. He says,
I am.
I know the numbers are bigger than you, but one more time, say, God says,
I am.
Just lean on him because
I am.
You can live here.
I am.
Amen. A cantankerous Christianity. Contagious Christianity. In Matthew 10 and 32, and the CSB says, therefore, everyone who will acknowledge me before men, I will also acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. Genuine, heartfelt Christianity can be highly contagious. When you have experienced the transforming power of God's love, you feel the need to share the good news of his only begotten Son. So whether you realize it or not, you can be sure that you are being led to share the story of your faith with family, with friends, and with the world. Every believer, including you, bears responsibility for sharing God's good news. And it is important to remember that you share your testimony through words and actions, but not necessarily in that order. Today, don't be bashful or timid. Talk about Jesus, and while you're at it, show the world what it really means to follow him. After all, the fields are ripe for the harvest. Time is short, and the workers are surprisingly few. So please share your story today, because tomorrow may indeed be too late. The Christian life is not one of legalistic do's and don'ts, but one that is positive, attractive, and joyful. To be a Christian means to forgive the inexcusable, because God has forgiven the inexcusable in you. The Holy Spirit testifies of Jesus. So when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you speak about our Lord and really live to honor him. Going to church does not make you a Christian any more than going to McDonald's make you a hamburger. Here's a thought. Many people who call themselves Christians don't really invest much time or energy following Jesus. Don't be like them. Instead, make certain that you follow Jesus every day. Amen? Let us pray. Thank you, Lord, for your Son. His love is boundless, infinite, and eternal. Today, let us pause and reflect upon Christ's love for us, and let us share that love with all those who cross our path. And as an expression of our love for him, let us share Christ's saving message with a world that desperately needs his grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. You are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m., our very own Barbara A. Amore will be here with our lesson this evening in Basic Theology by Charles C. Ryrie. And you can call in your prayer requests at 319-527-6204. We are here to pray for you, with you, and right along beside you. To God be the glory. At this time, I will play another selection.
Let me hear the worshipers! Where's all of my praises? I want everybody around the world to put your hands together, because all the praise belongs to God. Here we go.
Every praise,
every praise,
every praise,
it's to our God. care what you've been through. Just know that praise is bringing you out right now. Nobody can get praise but God tonight. Come on, clap them hands.
Measured. In Philippians 4 and 13 in the ESV Bible says, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. When we're working, we often have a lot on our plates. We try to get everything done in a hurry, which can leave the work done but not done well. It's when we work smarter rather than harder that we can accomplish more and relieve ourselves of trying to be in the fast lane. Your worth isn't measured by your productivity. This is a huge truth here. Let's read that again. Your worth isn't measured by your productivity. Your worth isn't in how clean you can make your house or how happy you can make your boss. It isn't in how many hours you work each day or how well you did the dishes. Your worth is found in Jesus. Amen? And guess what? No matter whether you take time to rest or you work until midnight, you are still worthy. God wants you to be happy and not toil with the stresses that come with working hard. It's okay to ask for help. Your worth will not be less. Don't find yourself matching your worth to your paycheck. It's better to work. It's better to make less money and be happier than to work your life away to make money you don't even have time to use. Amen? There will always be times when you need to put in the extra effort in your work, whether it is at home or away from home. And that's okay. You're doing what you have been called to do. It's in the busiest time that we need to call upon the Lord for the strength to get through. Work and life get stressful, but we have to remember that we cannot work our lives away. If you're working to show your worth, rethink what you're doing each day. You got this. What do you enjoy most about what you do every day? Are you measuring your worth by measuring your productivity level? Give yourself grace and allow yourself the freedom to release your worth in Jesus Christ, and not in your job or the tasks you accomplish each day. checking off the to-do list always feels good, but it doesn't compare to the peace we receive when we know that no matter what we get done today, God loves us. He treasures us, and he delights in our existence. Amen. You got this. Praise be to God. So at this time, I will play another selection.
You So you came and changed my life. You thought I was worth keeping. So you cleaned me up inside. You thought I was the devil.
NIV says, in peace I will lie down and sleep, for you alone, Lord, make me dwell in safety. Praise be to God. Each morning when my husband Jeff and I wake up, we say the same three words to each other, and they aren't good morning, darling. Nope. We say, did you sleep? Sleep in an exclusive prize in Dyson's household. Jeff has trouble sleeping because of aches and pains in his feet, knees, and legs from old football injuries and 40 years of trampling across concrete floors at his family's hardware store. My aches and pains start a bit higher up in my head the minute I turn out the light and close my eyes. I'm treated to an instant replay of how the ways I messed up during the day. Next, my mind transports me to all that can potentially go wrong the following day. And when I finish with that, I worry about my family, all 16 of them, one by one. By then, it's time to get up. Have you ever thought about turning your worries over to Jesus, my friend Sue suggests? Of course I had thought about it. Easier said than done. Nonetheless, I decided it was worth a try. I knelt by my bed and asked Jesus if I could cast my cares on him. I felt his assent. He led me to read Psalms 4 and 8. I have memorized that verse, and when I turn out the light, I repeat those soothing words as I drift off to sleep and rest peacefully with Jesus. Pat Butler Dyson. Faith steps. If worry keeps you up at night, memorize Psalms chapter 4. Verse 8, then imagine resting peacefully beside Jesus. Amen. Praise be to God. Thank you, Lord. God of righteousness, We pray today especially for our communities and our nation. We are in great need of knowing this name of yours once again. Your righteousness gave us the might and power we experienced in the past. Because you are righteous, we have enjoyed the fruit that comes from following you. Yet now our communities and our nations have abandoned you. We have removed your name in so many places. Pour your righteousness into the hearts of our leaders and into the hearts of our citizens, that we may rise up once again and reclaim the greatness you alone allowed us to experience. Give us relief from the violence, poverty, and strife we face in our land. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. And now it is time for our devotional message, amen, which is entitled, Equipped for Good. And the scripture reading for this message is coming from Hebrews 13, 20 through 21, and it says, the God of peace, who brought up from the dead Jesus our Lord, equip you in every good thing to do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Is there some task God is calling you to accept that appears beyond the scope of your abilities? You tell the Lord, I cannot do this, but you know it is his will for you. God will call you to undertake difficult assignments because he is teaching you not to depend on your own gifts and abilities. Rather, he wants you to learn to rely solely on him. He wants to strengthen your faith, grow your character, and transform you into the image of Jesus. So if you believe God has called you to do something for him that is too great for you, you are probably right. But understand that he's led you to this on purpose for your good, to build you up and prepare you for even greater things. So do not be afraid, no matter how impossible your assignment may appear. Go forward with God and trust him to equip you and provide all that you may need. In Jesus' name. Praise God. Let us pray. Jesus, you know we feel inadequate for the task ahead, but you are more than adequate, and we thank you that we will see your power at work. In your name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Equip for good. And that is our devotional message for this evening. At this time, I will play another selection while we're waiting on our speaker for this evening. Praise God.
Come on, everybody, open your mouth and worship the Lord. He's worthy of the glory. He deserves the praise today. Come on, everybody, all over the room, open your mouth and worship him. Lift your hands and bless him in this place. help us, all.
My hallelujah belongs to you. My hallelujah belongs to you. Oh Lord, my hallelujah belongs to you. You deserve. Come on, y'all gotta come on, say, my hallelujah. From the bottom of your heart, lift your voice. My hallelujah. Lord, my hallelujah. Yeah. Then we simply say, you deserve. Temple say it, church. From the bottom of your heart, tell the Lord, you deserve it, Lord. Yeah. All of the glory, yeah. Everything I give you, Lord. Everything I owe you, Lord, it belongs to you. Y'all got it now. Come on, say it. All of the glory.
It is time for our lesson for this evening. At this time, our very own Barbara A. Amore is going to come and conduct our lesson this evening in Basic Theology by Charles C. Ryrie. And we're going to welcome her with a hand clap praise. Amen. God bless you, Miss Barbara. How are you this evening?
Good evening. I'm blessed and highly favored. How are you?
Blessed, thank you.
All right. Sounds good. Is Sal with us tonight?
Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah. Praise the Lord.
Evening. How are you?
Good, good. Thank you.
God bless you. All right, so we're going to get started. Precious and Heavenly Father, God, once more and again, you will be our humble servants assembled at the 7 o'clock hour to study your words. Lord God, we're trying to get closer to you as you get closer to us. Bless everyone that's on the line, everyone that's listening in diverse and various places. And just thank you for allowing us to come together one more time. Lord, I'm asking that you will fix it, whatever the situation or the circumstance is in the world, in our lives, in our neighborhoods, in our homes. Fix it, Father God, and we will be forever grateful. Forgive us of our sins, those of omission and commission. And God, if I had 10,000 tongues, I couldn't thank you enough. So thank you for doing it. Thank you for being so good, so kind, so loving, so generous, so full of favor for us. Thank you, thank you, thank you. All these blessings I ask in your son's name, in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 We're going to get into our lesson. We're ending chapter 47. Got one more page. We're on page 315, and we stop at section 3, Future Ministry, part A, talking about who will raise the dead. Everybody with me?
Yes.
Yes.
Right. So I'll just start at the beginning of that portion, though detailed discussion of what will happen in the future belongs to eschatology. I think it appropriate to mention here at least three aspects of our Lord's ministry in the future. A, he will raise the dead. In the future, all people will hear the voice of Christ raising them from the dead. Verses 5:28-29. Some will be called to eternal life and others to condemnation. Though we know from our scriptures that both groups will not be raised at the same time, his voice calling them will be the cause of the resurrection of all. Believers of the church age will be raised at the rapture of the church, 1 Thessalonians 4:13-18. Old Testament saints will apparently be raised at the second coming. Daniel 12:2. The unbelieving dead of all time will not be raised until after the millennium. Revelation 20:5. Any thoughts, any questions?
What's the significance of the millennium?
What's the significance of the millennium?
Yes.
That was when it was said that
The righteous will reign for a millennium after the devil has ruled for all of that time.
Mm-hmm.
Evangelist, you have an opinion on that?
The text relates it to the unbelieving, the dead.
What's that?
The lesson text, the bottom line, it relates it to the unbelieving dead.
I don't understand what you're saying. What are you saying again?
Okay, you said that it's the millennium is related to the risen, the righteous that was risen.
To the unbelieving dead.
No, the unbelieving.
Yes, it's not the righteous. I thought, but well. Okay, it talks about both the text, but the millennium is closely related to the unbelieving dead.
Well, that's when they will raise. They will be raised to resurrection. The other dead
okay.
will be raised.
Not until the millennium. It says
millennium.
Millennium.
Mm-hmm. Not until after the millennium.
Right. Yes, so that's almost 1,000 years, right?
That is 1,000 years.
So 1,000 years
so
or later, after the righteous has been raised, then the rapture,
right,
and the second resurrection.
Evangelist, you have any thoughts on that?
No.
I think we looked at these scriptures already, right? John 5:28-29 and 1 Thessalonians 4:13-18.
I don't think so.
Okay, let's take a look at that again if we have not. John 5:28-39. Evangelist, look at that. And Val, look at 1 Thessalonians 4:13-18, please. John first.
John. Okay, John 5:28-29.
It says, this is Jesus speaking. He said, don't be so surprised indeed. The time is coming when all the dead in their graves will hear the voice of God's Son, and they will rise again. Those who have done good will rise to experience eternal life, and those who have continued in evil will rise to experience judgment.
Amen.
Yeah, we read them because I think that's when one will be going with Jesus and the others will be going down to hell.
And first, thank you. 1 Thessalonians 1:4-13, Val.
1 Thessalonians 4:13-18. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so then also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with God. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words.
Amen.
Amen. Any thoughts about that?
Yes, I see clearly now the resurrection, that the righteous that died, they're going to be resurrected, and the second resurrection, the righteous that are alive still will be raptured, and those that are unrighteous, our lesson is just saying that they will not be right until after the millennium.
Mm-hmm. So let's take, thank you. Let's take a look at Daniel 12 and 2, Evangelist.
Yeah. Okay. Come on, where's
Daniel? Okay. Daniel who? Daniel 12, verse 2.
Okay. Go back. Number 12 and 2 says, where is you? Okay. Many of those whose bodies lie dead and buried will rise up, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting disgrace. Amen.
Amen. Any thoughts about that?
It's just like the scriptures she just read says that the ones in Christ that's dead will rise, and then the ones that's still alive will be caught up in the air with him. And then the dead ones will stay till after the millennium, and then afterwards, then they'll be raised.
The unbelieving dead.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
The unbelieving dead.
Yes, and Val read 1 Thessalonians.
Right, that's it. 4:13.
And Val, now you take us to Revelation 20 and verse 5, and we'll be finished with those scriptures for now.
Okay.
Revelation 20, verse 5.
Revelation 20, verse 5. But the rest of the dead liveth not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection.
Mm-hmm. And I'll read mine from 4 to 6. And this is John speaking what he was, what the revelation was revealed to him. I saw thrones. Those put in charge of judgment sat on the thrones. I also saw the souls of those beheaded because of their witness to Jesus and the word of God, who refused to worship either the beast or his image, refused to take his mark on forehead or hand. They lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. That's that millennium. The rest of the dead did not live until the 1,000 years were up. Those are the unbelievers. This is the first resurrection, and those involved most blessed, most holy. No second death for them. They're priests of God and Christ. They'll reign with him 1,000 years. All right. You're going to turn the page. Any thoughts about that?
Amen. That's my thought. Amen. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so section B is he will reward all people. Though the average person thinks of God the Father as the judge of all people, the Lord said that all judgment
has been delegated to him. John 5:22-27. As with resurrection, judgment for all will not take place at the same time, but Christ will judge all. So what do you think about that?
So it's saying that when judgment time comes, that we all will be judged, but not at the same time?
Mm-hmm.
So then the righteous will be judged first?
The righteous will, the dead in Christ will rise first and be judged.
Right.
And those that are still alive will be caught up in the rapture.
Right.
And those unbelievers still in the grave will be there for another millennium, a thousand years.
Right.
And then they too will be judged.
Yeah.
So for that thousand years, you're going to have the believers reigning with Christ.
Yes.
All right. And believers will be judged. What's that?
Yeah, you talked a lot about judgment. And the first thing you mentioned is cursed people and God. But judgment was delegated to Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And he judges us. He judges us. The Lord has judgment, the delegated judgment. Judges us at the resurrection.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, at our lives, the end of our lives.
At what?
It seems like he judges us. It seems like it's like it's saying that Christ is given the job of judgment, not people. God gave that.
Yeah, Christ
delegated
is going
to
be the judge.
Christ.
He is the judge.
And, okay, I thought for a minute, I thought it was at twice, but it's at the resurrection.
At the resurrection of the dead, because he's already been resurrected. So this is at his second coming, when people that are dead will rise first, and then those who are still alive will be raptured, caught up to meet him in the air, and those unbelievers will be left to be... wherever for a thousand years, they will be judged at the end of the thousand at the end of the millennium.
Right, and that's the first resurrection, and the second resurrection is those that die in Christ.
No, that's the second. That's the first coming. He's been resurrected. This is the second coming, is what we call it. The Advent, the second coming. I mean, the first coming. The second coming. The first coming is when he was a baby, when he was born.
Right.
So this is the second coming.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And at the second coming, those that I named already will be resurrected.
Okay, we read it, but where did we read it in the text just now? It was about the
where did
second.
We read what?
About the second coming. Coming.
We didn't read it as such about the second coming, but we did say, and I'll read it one more time, he will raise the dead. This is on page 315. In the future, all people will hear the voice of Christ raising them from the dead. John 5:28-29. Some will be called to eternal life and others to condemnation. And we know that those called to eternal life will be who?
The righteous.
Who? Yeah, the believers.
Righteous.
So though we know from other scriptures that both groups will not be raised at the same time, his voice calling them will be the cause of the resurrection of all. Talking about us, not so much him. He's already resurrected.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So believers of the church age will be raised at the rapture, those who are still alive. And you read that in 1 Thessalonians 4:13-18. Old Testament saints will apparently be raised at the second coming,
Daniel 12:2. Those are the older ones.
And that's what I got mixed up and I was looking like, how did they word it? Because it's second coming, not yet right, not second resurrection. So
no,
it's the second coming.
He's gonna
coming,
resurrect
right.
One time. He did that already. And so he went to his father. So now we're waiting for him to come back. He's not going to die and be resurrected again. He did that already.
Right. No, I'm
that's
not talking about
eternal life.
He's talking about us. I'm talking about all of us. He resurrects three times, different at different times. The second coming is what, you know, I just said second rapture. You corrected me, and I saw it in the text that you were right. The second,
so what
coming,
is the second coming
in the rapture and the first coming
what,
he raptures
what is the
us
second coming
the second coming is the rapture. I mean when the righteous, the believers are resurrected.
The second coming is when Jesus will come back again.
Mm-hmm.
That's the second coming.
But well, apparently. But it says
he came one time as a child, as an infant.
He raised at the second coming.
What's that?
It says his voice calling them will be a cause of the resurrection of all believers of the church. This is the second. Believers of the church age will be raised at the rapture of the church. Old Testament things will apparently be raised at the second coming.
Mm-hmm.
So there's more to it. It's Old Testament saints. Because I'm not
so
talking
about Jesus. When we talk about the second coming, that's referring to his second coming.
His coming, yeah. But in this
we're talking
book,
about
in
Jesus
the
Christ.
Church, it says the Old Testament saints will
right.
Be raised at the second coming. I'm not talking
right.
about
those
Christ.
Those are the ones who didn't know him because he wasn't in their presence. He's in every book of the Bible, but he was not physically there in the Old Testament, as we all know.
Right. That's they're talking about.
The revelation.
That's
that
where
I'm
they're
getting.
Talking about the 144,000.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know, Evangelist, but the revelation I'm getting is that.
But when he says
the Old Testament saints raised at the second coming was like before the law. But he's calling them saints, so they are believers.
Right. Those are the ones that died. But they believed in God, but they died before Jesus came. So this
that's
is what
why
he
I'm talking about
old.
Jesus. But that's why I'm talking about these people were resurrected at the second coming.
Yeah, that's what it just said. That's the Old Testament
believe
saints
it.
Will apparently be raised at the second coming.
Mm-hmm. Yes, believe it.
Well, saints, yeah. In order to be a saint, you had to be a believer. So,
right.
Talking about those
and
who believe.
The rapture, too, are believers that are alive.
Yeah. Those are the ones who are
and
believers
so
and are still
coming,
alive.
The first coming is those that are not believers. They'll be risen.
No, the first coming is when he came as
later.
A baby. The first coming is when he came as a baby. And they,
no,
many
I'm
of them
talking, I'm not talking
believe.
About Jesus. I'm talking about us. I know
what?
That the first resurrection is the non-believers. Everybody's going to get raised, but they get raised 1,000 years later. And
those
that's
are the unbelievers.
First resurrection.
Those are the unbelieving dead.
Hmm?
That's the unbelieving dead that will be raised
right,
after 1,000
right.
years of Jesus reigning on the earth.
Right. Yeah, we're on the same page now, but I'm just saying the story risen, three resurrections, the rapture, the second coming, and the first resurrection.
The rapture is not a resurrection.
The rapture is when the living will be raised also.
Caught up, not resurrected, because they're not dead. So the resurrection is when you come back to life.
Okay.
So they will not be dead and be reborn or, you know, be alive again.
Okay, got it.
So B, he will reward all people. And I think I read that. Believe the second paragraph. Believers will be judged by him at the judgment seat of Christ, 1 Corinthians 3, 11 through 15, 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10, after the rapture of the church. The outcome of this judgment for all will be heaven, though with a varying number of rewards. All will receive some praise from God, 1 Corinthians 4 and 5. Unbelievers will be judged at the great white throne at the conclusion of the millennial kingdom, Revelation 20, 11 through 15. And I just want to say, there's no S on Revelation. It's just singular, Revelation, not Revelation. All will be rewarded for their deeds by being cast into the lake of fire. Who are we talking about?
The unbelievers.
Exactly. None will be shown to be deserving of heaven. But regardless of the time, all will be judged by our Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's take a look at John 5, 22 and 27. Dangelus?
Okay.
John 5, 22 and 27.
Can I ask you a question first before you move on?
Yes,
So would all persons be risen to be judged first?
Will all people be risen to be judged first?
Yes.
Everybody's going to be judged. That's what I just read.
Right.
Right.
At the end of the first paragraph on page 316, it says, though the average person thinks of God the Father as the judge of all people, the Lord said that all judgment has been delegated to him. John 5, 22 and 27. As with resurrection, judgment for all will not take place at the same time, but Christ will judge all. Does that answer
okay,
your question?
Okay, so that answer, yeah, because it, the question was, it will it take place after we are risen? And yes, but the three different times, probably at the second
so
coming.
So you'll be judged before the throne. You'll be judged before the great white throne.
Right, but my question is, after life, when? After the resurrection, when? When will Christ judge us?
When you get before the great white throne in heaven.
Okay, so those who are not making it to heaven, when do you think they receive the judgment?
They will be judged before the throne, too, and then they will be sent in a different direction.
Right.
Okay.
But we all have to come before his throne. And many think it's God that will be doing the judging, but he tells us right here. I'm trying to talk to you. You're not listening. You're doing, you know, that's disruptive. What I'm saying is what this paragraph just said, that we will all be judged at the great white throne, okay, by Jesus, not by God, by Jesus. And Christ will judge us all. And in order to be judged by Christ, we have to come before him at his throne. So all will go up to heaven, but all will not remain in heaven. Some will be sent in the opposite direction, the everlasting torment. Okay? So let's take a look at John 5, 22 and 27, please.
Okay. 5:22 says, in addition, the Father judges The Father judges no one. Instead, he has given the Son absolute authority to judge. That's 22. 27 says,
all right.
27 says, and he has given him authority to judge everyone because he is the Son of Man. Amen.
All right.
Amen.
And let me read mine. Mine goes from 20 to 23. But you haven't seen the half of it yet. But in the same way that the Father raises the dead and creates life, so does the Son. The Son gives life to anyone he chooses. Neither he nor the Father shuts anyone out. The Father handed all authority to judge over to the Son, so that the Son will be honored equally with the Father. Anyone who dishonors the Son dishonors the Father, for it was the Father's decision to put the Son in the place of honor. So it's the Father's choice to appoint his Son as the judge. So anyone who dishonors him will not be looked upon with fondness, you know?
Mm-hmm.
All right, and 27?
Mm-hmm.
Can we expand on it? Can we talk on it? That reading.
I don't understand you.
Can I say something behind that reading?
Yeah, if I can understand you.
Okay, so, when people are suffering so much, the first thing they say is, why God let this happen? Why God let this happen? And I see, you know, we as witnesses, you know, we got to stop them right there because I believe God is a good God. And what he does is he delegates. Like he's delegating this job to Christ Jesus. And he delegates all these evil things to the devil. God is a good God. God doesn't want any us to be harmed or to go without, you know. But he wants us to go through trials and tribulations. It's a fruit of the Spirit. Fruit of the Spirit. Long suffering. We learn from our trials and our tribulations. So I just, you know, I'm gonna stop people in their tracks. No, God, he's a good and he's a loving God. You know?
He's a
you
good
can't
God,
just
but he does
any
he
kind
does
of life
suffering. He does chastise those
yes,
he loves.
Does. Absolutely. All right, so even though everybody wants to say, oh, he's a good God, he's a loving God, he will punish you also.
But I'm just saying he delegates this to the devil. He allows the devil to do certain things.
Well, sometimes he does it himself.
Just like he's saying in this reading, he's allowing Christ to be the judge. He's delegating this responsibility to Christ.
You're right about that.
Mm-hmm.
But the wrath of God is not delegated to Satan. That's his own wrath.
Mm.
And he chastises those he loves.
Yep. I'm open to that. I'm open to that. I don't know. Some of the ways of God, we just don't know. Just got to go by what he wants us to know, and that's scripture.
Okay, let's look at 27. Evangelist? Okay. And he has given him authority to judge everyone because he is the Son of Man. Okay, and mine reads from 25 to 27. It's urgent that you get this right. The time has arrived, right now, when dead men and women will hear the voice of the Son of God and hearing will come alive. Just as the Father has life in himself, he has conferred on the Son life in himself. And he has given him the authority simply because he is the Son of Man to decide and carry out matters of judgment. Don't act so surprised at all this. The time is coming when everyone dead and buried will hear his voice. Those who have lived the right way will walk out into a resurrection life.
those who have lived the wrong way into a resurrection judgment. So we will all be resurrected. The living will be caught up to meet him in the air. Those who were good will be caught up into a resurrection judgment. And the unbelievers will be caught up into a resurrection. The believers will be caught up into a resurrection life. Those are the dead. All right? Let's take a look at
damnation.
1 Corinthians 3:11 through 15. Valerie, 1 Corinthians 3:11 through 15, and then 2 Corinthians 5 and 10.
And the other one?
I'll give it to you when you're done.
Okay. 1 Corinthians 3:11-15.
Mm-hmm.
For other foundation can no man lay than this laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man built upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he have built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire.
All right, and the other one is 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10.
For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he have done, whether it be good or bad.
All right. So does that say anything to you?
Oh, yes. We're going to be judged for what we did, the good works and the bad works. Those that
okay.
have done good will be rewarded.
Mm-hmm. And it says, all will be rewarded for their deeds by being cast, well, that's the unbelievers.
Yes.
Believers will be judged by him at the judgment seat of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
You just read that. After the rapture of the church, the
mm-hmm.
outcome of this judgment for all will be heaven. Okay, talking about the believers. All of them, all of us, will go to heaven, though with a varying number of rewards. All will receive some praise from God. Evangelist, would you read that 1 Corinthians 4 and 5?
Mm-hmm. 1 Corinthians 4 and 5 says, so don't make judgments about anyone ahead of time, before the Lord returns, for he will bring our darkest secrets to light and will reveal our private motives. Then God will give to each one whatever praise is due.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you. And also, the next paragraph is talking about unbelievers will be judged at the great white throne at the conclusion of the millennial kingdom. We saw that in Revelation 20, verses 11 through 15. All will be rewarded for their deeds by being cast into the lake of fire. None will be shown to be deserving of heaven. But regardless of the time, all will be judged by our Lord.
Valerie, would you get Revelation 20, verse 11 to 15?
Mm-hmm. Wow. Day. The rider in the white horse.
Revelation 20, 11 to 15, mm-hmm. read the great white throne judgment. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which they were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and the dead in hell delivered up the head which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works. Mm-hmm. And the dead and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire.
Amen.
Amen.
So
we want to get into the book of life.
Huh?
We want to get into the book of life.
Amen.
Because, yes, if you're not there, you're automatically slipping. You're going to slip into the lake of hell.
That's right. The lake of fire in hell.
Yep. Lake of fire and brimstone in hell.
Mm-hmm. Amen. And the last paragraph is, he will rule this world. Who are we talking about?
Jesus.
Amen. When our Lord returns, he will take the reins of government and rule the nations of this world as a benevolent dictator, Revelation 19 and 15. If you would get that, evangelist, we're going to read it in a sec. Mm-hmm. Then and only then will the world experience a time of righteousness, justice, social welfare, economic prosperity, and spiritual knowledge. He will show himself to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords in the same arena where man's rebellion against God took place. Wow. What does that mean? Revelation 19:15. We're going to read that first.
Okay. From his mouth came a sharp sword to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron rod. He will release the fierce wrath of God, the Almighty, like juice flowing from a wine press. Wow.
All right. Any thoughts about, thank you. Any thoughts about that last paragraph or anything else about this particular chapter, chapter 48 or 47,
This is where the wrath of God is coming down on Satan.
On Satan?
Huh?
On Satan?
Yeah, 15. From his mouth came a sharp sword to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron rod. He will release the fierce wrath of God, the Almighty, like juice flowing from a wine press. Oh, no, that's the nations.
Thank you. That's not on Satan, because Satan.
Not Satan, the nations. I'm sorry.
Right, that's the people. So where's Satan supposed to be at this time?
isn't he supposed to be chained in the pit?
Valerie, hold that thought. Valerie, where you think he's supposed to be?
What are you? Oh, Satan?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, I don't know. I don't dwell too much on that. But I don't know. I'm looking at what we're reading, and in the beginning, the Word was God. The Word and Jesus is God. All three are one. And the sword that you're talking about is the Word. And it sounds like you're talking about the Word of God.
Valerie.
I don't understand the question.
So again, Satan will be restrained. He won't be able to do his evil deeds. And that's why I'm saying that when our Lord returns, he will take control of the government and rule the nations of this world as a good dictator. All right? Then and only then will the world experience, without Satan, a time of righteousness, justice, social welfare, economic prosperity, and spiritual knowledge. He will show himself to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords in the same arena where man's rebellion against God took place because of Satan. All right? So Satan will be nowhere around for at least a millennium. All right?
Okay.
So he will not be around when Jesus comes back to reign and rule the nation.
Okay.
Satan will not be around. He will be bound. Probably going to be down there in hell with his followers.
For 1,000 years. when he be released, and then they're going to say, there he is, let's go get him. Those are all the haters of Jesus.
Well, I don't know what they're going to say, but
don't sinners down there for 1,000 years.
What?
Don't sinners. I got a joke for y'all, but tell it.
Okay, let's finish the lesson before we get into your joke. All right, that was the end of chapter 47.
Yes.
And next week we're going to go to chapter 48, some introductory considerations. All right, I wish we could get into it tonight, but we don't want to start and then have to stop. All right, Ms. Valerie, what you got?
Well, from this lesson, I glean that God have given Jesus Christ so much. He delegated so much work for him. And first, just putting on a body of flesh. And then he sent us him in the world to be the savior of this whole world. He put all mankind in his hands. And we got to answer to Jesus at the end of the day.
Yes.
And I see why God wants us to be afraid. Because when we're taking God for granted, doing what we want to do, especially taking God's name in vain, when we, present ourselves as holy and are not living holy, we're taking God's name in vain.
Amen.
And like you say, that for God, I don't understand it. Because for a minute there, I thought, just like he gave Jesus all this power to come down and be a man in the flesh and the savior of the world, or the judgment of us all, I felt like he must have delegated all sin and evil and sickness to the devil, allowing him to...
No. He didn't give that.
But I am afraid. I'm afraid of getting out of line. Because when I became a deacon 4 years ago with this church, I stopped drinking. I haven't had a drink in 4 years. I said, let me do this sober-minded. And
we have to examine ourselves and not take God for granted. Change the things we can, because we don't want to be omitted from the book of life.
So how do you do that?
Live. I mean, like the holy commandment that says, love your neighbor as you would love yourself. Do it to the best of your ability.
Okay.
And what if they don't, your neighbors don't want to accept your love? You can't.
Then you gotta dust your feet off, love a stranger, because Jesus came for all of us, not just our loved ones and friends and neighbors. You gotta dust your feet off and keep it moving. Maybe I could come behind you and save that soul. But if they're rejecting you like they rejected Christ, you got to keep it moving.
And if I may, you don't save souls. That's not in your power. Jesus is the Savior. All right. You can bring them to Jesus, but Jesus does the drawing.
Yes.
You can introduce them to Jesus. But Jesus will bring them to him.
Right.
All right? So we don't save souls. We're not the Savior. There's only one Savior, and his name is Jesus Christ.
He is the Savior of the world, yes.
Right.
But he
so John 3:16.
As instruments, vessels. And
so what I want to say is that in our Sunday school, in our book, Precepts for Living, that talks about some of what you had said, Valerie, that God is not fooled, F-O-O-L-E-D. God is not fooled. So we can do all kinds of things that, you know, man might look at and think, oh, wow, how marvelous. They're doing this, that, and the other, this, that, and the third. But God knows our hearts. So if we're doing things to impress other people or, you know, to try to, I guess, get to heaven, and your heart is not in it, God knows. He's not. You're not fooling him.
Mm-hmm.
You're not fooling him. Okay? So this
is just like we have online ministry.
Sunday school. Listen so you can hear.
You can only see.
Listen so you can hear. I'm still talking. What I'm saying is when you get a moment, this lesson comes from Amos. Amos, the fifth chapter. So if you want to get a little more, you know, into it, Amos, starting at the fifth chapter. All right?
Amos
God
chapter
is not
five.
Fooled. Yeah, Amos chapter five.
What I'm trying to say is that
I have a little fear.
I have a little fear, even though
of
I'm
what?
Trying to put my best foot forward, the wrath of God. Even though I'm trying, those sins that you don't know about, that you're taking for granted, or you procrastinating about fixing. I didn't feel like paying my tithe for a few months or a year, whatever. And I was talking to evangelists about it the whole time. And I'm constantly in the Word. I'm like, I'm just going to trust God. He got me. I'm just going to do what the Word say do. I could count it. I know what 10% looks like. And it's not a $2 offering. It's a nice offering. So I decided, along with putting that drinking on the shelf, coming into this role sober-minded, to do exactly what Malachi tells me to do, give 10% and bring it to the storehouse. Because I was giving more outside of the storehouse. I said, let me seek God first.
Okay,
and he'll give me more.
But he tells us that in the beginning, he says to seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, and all these things will be added unto you.
Matthew 6:33.
There's more work there's, you know, more refining to do. Maybe I don't know it yet. I didn't come into my doctorate degree yet. I haven't written a book yet.
Well, it's not about your doctorate degree. It's not about your degree, because many people are very learned, and they don't have a master's, they don't have a BA, and they don't have a doctorate degree. Okay.
But I believe it.
What is important is that while you're trying to learn, you need to listen. That's, you know,
okay. I'm not talking about titles. What I'm talking about, let me finish. What I'm talking about, okay, I got to write a book, but I'm a Christian. I want to put out a good message. I don't want to elevate the devil in any of his ways. I don't want to put that out there. So that's what I'm talking about. I fear God because there's more on this Christian journey, a lot more. I'm still here. Got to occupy while I'm still here. I feel God, even though I'm not openly have no intentions to live a sinful life, because I'm not perfect, because I'm going to make some mistakes, because I got some more trials to go through, because somebody's going to provoke me, and I'm too defensive. So I do have some fear of God, and in Proverbs it says, the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
So it's accounted all joy. Divers temptations.
But he doesn't want us to be afraid of him. He wants us to be respectful and honor him and come to him in awe, revere him. Not to be frightened of him, but to respect him. He doesn't want us to be scared of him. He's not I'm trying to talk to somebody. Okay? He doesn't want us to be afraid of him like that, but it does say fear God, meaning be obedient. Mm-hmm. Do exactly what he's telling us to do in his word. Mm-hmm. And you can't get to heaven by good works.
Nope.
That's in many scriptures.
That's my main point.
And something that we read tonight also. It's not about the works.
Amen.
You can't earn your way into heaven.
Nope.
Right. We know that. But my
and you can't save anybody. What you can do is live right in front of the people that you're trying to get them to come to Jesus. But Jesus is going to do the drawing. All right?
Yeah,
we can only introduce them to Jesus. And he's going to bring them in. You're not a savior. I'm not a savior. Evangelist is not a savior. Nobody is. Even Deacon Clyde is not a savior. So.
But he uses us. We're all missionaries. He uses us.
Yeah, we're supposed to bring the word to the people.
But
bring the
word.
My main
point, Mr. Barber, is don't take God for granted, because he sees our hearts. He sees everything we do. And we can't make wrong right.
All right. We're going to close now. It's 8:01. Valerie, would you pray us out?
Heavenly Father, I come to you as humble as I know how, asking that you hear this sinner's prayer, Lord God, and accept my repentance, Father God, for everything I did wrong, everything I will do, in the name of Jesus. Glory be to God, that you may be able to hear these words of prayer. Father God, I pray that you continue to dwell in the midst of us. You said there's two or three, there you are in the midst. And we thank you for that, Jesus. We thank you because you said you will never leave us, never forsake us or leave us, Lord. And you're not a God of confusion. Father God, I rebuke confusion in the name of Jesus. Because you said your spirit will not always dwell with man, and I know you wouldn't dwell in confusion, and you're a God of order, and we thank you for that. You're a loving God. We ask that you put more love in our hearts, that we may be able to love one another with agape love, as you commanded to love ye one another. Mm-hmm. Thank you for that. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for that prayer.
Beautiful lesson tonight. I enjoyed
praise
this lesson.
God. I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Thank you, teacher.
I'm just anxious to get into the next one. But anyway, ladies,
yes.
I love you. Be blessed. And continue to seek his face.
Amen.
All right?
Amen.
Continue to seek his face. God willing, see you tomorrow at 6.
Yes, ma'am. God's willing.
All right.
And
I love you.
Wonderful evening.
Blessings, love, and kisses.
Mm-hmm.
And hug Pico for me.
I will. Gotta take him outside because he's not feeling well.
Okay.
She loves him better than she loves me.
That's my baby.
All right.
Okay. Good
love
night,
you, ladies. Baby. Have a blessed one.
You too.
Shalom.
Shalom.
Okay.
Good night. Bye.